All right. Well, welcome, welcome, ladies. We have been praying for each one of you for probably a month now. Yes, we've been praying. You know, and God knew your names. I didn't know your names, but he knew you individually, which is so awesome. We're so excited to be here. We had an actual situation that kind of exemplifies what this conference is about. Of course, perseverance towards surprise. So we got on the airplane. We were at Intercontinental in Houston. We went to the airport. We were told that we were supposed to go to Terminal C. We got to Terminal C, met another guy there who was trying to go to Milwaukee, who had the same place that we were supposed to, at the same gate we were at, but it was saying some different city. So we're asking, where do we go? And they said, wait, you're going to Terminal B. So here we go. We're running to Terminal B. We are pressing on perseverance towards Terminal B. We get to Terminal B. Oh, we just made an announcement. It's turned to Terminal A. I feel like we're playing bingo. We go from one terminal. Oh, the only place we didn't go is Terminal D. So we now know the entire airport. We did our, you know, and obviously I'm short. So our little legs are going as fast as we can from one place to another. And you know what? The prize is to get here. We are here, and it is awesome to see each and every one of you. So if you would turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5. I had to get me a new Bible because I have a big honking Bible, and I didn't think it would fit. So I had to get this, so please forgive me because it's small print. So let's go ahead and read our passage and then we'll pray. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. We got a taste of that. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And of course, this session is entitled Perseverance in Hope. And we'll see that more as we go through the passages. So, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, we just come before you and I thank you, God, for your hope. It is a living hope. It is what we live for. Oh, Lord, I pray for each individual woman that is here, including myself, that you would minister to each and every one of us, that our ears would be open and our eyes would be open, and that we would just receive the word that you have for us today, because it is for us. It is perfect for us. It is lived out in us. It's the living word. So I pray, God, that you would help us in understanding and to apply the knowledge that you give us through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. Amen. All right. So, September 10th, 2025, 12:23 Mountain Time, 1:23 our time. We all saw the news. The assassination of Charlie Kirk. It was horrific. It was evil in its purest form. We read the news articles, watched the news in utter shock, our mouths wide open. We grieved. It's a trial, a tribulation. And let me tell you guys, if you want to learn perseverance, you have to go through trials. That's all there is to it. Trials will teach us to persevere. Perseverance is such a good thing to learn, but it doesn't happen until we go through trials, maybe suffering. And I know some of us are like, I don't want to go through that. I don't. But listen, when you go through those trials, it teaches us that, hey, we are no longer having to deal with it. It is up to God. We can let go. And we'll see that as we come up here. But even though this happened, this assassination, this horrifying event happened, it was senseless, it was cowardly, God can use this tribulation for good. God never wastes trials, and this is one of them. Listen, death is not the end. When we know the peace of God, through Jesus, we access, by faith, the glory of the grace of God as well, where we are secure in our position as we stand and rejoice in hope and the glory of God. This is our hope, dear believer. That's what we can learn from this. Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, said in a statement that the cries of this widow will echo around the world with like a battle cry. She went on to say they killed Charlie because he preached a message of patriotism, faith, and of God's love. They should all know this, she went on to say. If you thought my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you've unleashed across this country and this world. You have no idea the fire you've ignited within this wife. Well said. Even as horrific as this act of violence is, our pain, our trials, teaches us to persevere, to move forward, to push onward with an expectant hope that this is not the end. There is eternity waiting for us. Believe it, receive it, enjoy it. But Sonia, this assassination makes me mad. It hurt. Yes, it does. But listen, we need to look at this light affliction, which is just for a moment. We need to understand that. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's 2 Corinthians 4:17. Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's widow, though she is suffering through the painfully aware of that hole left by her husband, is looking upward. She has hope. She's pushing forward. She's enduring, persevering, and we should too. Why is there hope for the believer? It's because there is hope at the end of suffering in trials, and that hope does not disappoint. And the reason we know this hope is because we know God's love. We see that God has pulled us through our tribulation before. He can do it again. And that tribulation can teach us perseverance, godly character, and hope. And that's the Christian's perspective. Persevere because God is our hope. Now, perseverance, that's what we talk about throughout this conference. What is perseverance? We hear people say, you just have to persevere. You just got to keep going, right? Well, here's what the Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines perseverance as. It is the continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties or failure or opposition. Steadfastness. To keep going. Here in our text, we look at Romans 5, 1 through 5. The word perseverance is mentioned in verses 3 and 4. The word used for perseverance in the Greek is hupomone, H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, hupomone. Hupomone means steadfast endurance that clings to God in the face of pressure. I'm going to say that again. Steadfast endurance that clings to God in the face of pressure. It's more than passive waiting. It's active, faith-filled perseverance. It's a hopeful endurance, perseverance. Now, this perseverance is born out of having peace with God through what Jesus did for every person that believed in the completed work on the cross. And we'll see that in our text as well. In other words, before we believed in the work on the cross, before we believed in Jesus, we were at war with God. Did you know that? We were at war with God. Once we were saved, once we submitted to God, once we gave our life and said, Lord, you died for me on the cross. You saved me from eternal damnation. Once we understand that and give that to God, that's when we got peace. Do y'all remember when you got saved? Oh, I do. I remember I was getting into New Age stuff. My mom was the one that got me into it. She sent me a book by Ruth Montgomery. It was horrible. It was, and I was like, well, yeah, it kind of sounds like this could be good, you know? Until they were saying, oh, you can go to this planet, you can go to that planet, and you can go to, what? And I knew in my heart something wasn't right until I talked to my sister-in-law, my husband's sister, and she said, well, Sonia, that sounds like New Age. I'm like, what's New Age? So she said, look, do you have a Bible? And I'm like, I don't know. So I'm looking on my bookshelf, do we even have a Bible? And we did. We had a Roman Catholic Bible. I don't know how I got it. But so I looked in there, and she said, read the book of John. And I started reading it. And let me tell you, once I just sat, I was sitting on my couch, and I said, Lord, man, I need this. I need this love that John talks about. I mean, that is a book of love. John felt that love. And that was, that's all she wrote. I gave my life to the Lord. I'm sitting on my couch, and peace just ran over me like nothing I have ever felt before. And that's what God gives you. He gives you that peace because you're no longer at war. That peace leads to our secure position in God, which causes us to rejoice in the hope of glory of God. In other words, because we're secure, we have the hope of standing and sharing with the very glory of God, and that's something to be happy about. Listen, here's a succession that we're seeing in our text. Because we have peace with God through Jesus, we stand securely before God, leading to the hope of glory with God in heaven. We can also glory, I'm going to say this, we can glory in tribulations, which leads to perseverance, character, and then hope. That's the hope of every believer. That's the overview of our passage. So that's kind of the, in a nutshell, but we're going to kind of dig in a little bit more. Now, by way of introduction to this letter, Paul wrote the letter of Romans in 58 AD while he was in Corinth. He was in Corinth at the time. Tertius wrote down the letter as Paul dictated the letter to them, and you'll see that in Romans 16:22. Well, up to this letter, Paul has been saying, I must see Rome. I tried to come, but I was prevented many times from coming, and we see that in Romans 1:13. By the way, he eventually came to Rome 2 years later, but in chains. He was a prisoner of Rome. Not ever seeing Rome when he wrote this letter, he would write about life-impacting instructions. If we're to sum up the whole book of Romans, it would be righteousness. Righteousness. Chapter 5 seems to be kind of a turning point in this letter. He's been talking about teaching basics to the believer. But here in chapter 5, he turns his attention to discipling. And that should be every believer's goal. Now you've understood the word of God. Now let's start discipling. Now let's apply it. Let's figure out how to do this. How do I practically apply these truths? It gets practical. So look at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, as J. Vernon McGee would always say, when you see therefore, always ask what it's there for. Well, what's it there for? Therefore, in light of all that Paul has said in chapter 4, Paul has just finished writing about the promises granted by faith. He's talked about Abraham and in his faith and all the promises that came with that. Therefore, having been justified, just if I'd never sinned, justified. That's what that means. Because we're justified, you and I have been justified. Just as I've never sinned. How? By faith. Believing in the finished work of the cross. That's how we're justified. Look in the last part of verse 1. We said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We always talk about this. When God got a hold of us, we found peace. When we believed, we had faith and are no longer at war with God. We have peace. How were we at peace? Look at verse 2. It says, through whom? Through who? Through Jesus. That's through Jesus. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So through Jesus and our faith in him, we also have grace and have this secure position. That's what stand means. We are positionally secure, which should cause us to rejoice in the hope of glory. What is the hope of the glory of God? What does it mean here? I'm glad you asked. Listen, the believer's destiny is to share in the glory of God. It means that we shall share in the attributes or characteristics of God that belong to him. We become more and more like him in his character. We rejoice in that because that's our hope. Now, I work at Lens Crafters as an optician. My manager has 20 years of experience. I often say I want to grow up to be like her because she has so much experience. She can see this, see that, the things I've never even thought about. And I listen to her. I watch her. I'm constantly striving to do better. Well, that's what we should be doing as a believer. We see what God does. We see what he says in the word, the characteristics that we have. That's what we strive for. That's our glory. And not only that, it continues here. In verse 3, but we glory to be changed by Jesus, to be like Jesus, in what? What do we glory in? Tribulations. Tribulations. Can I make something clear here? Being a Christian doesn't spare us from tribulations. Jesus said in John 6:33, in the world we will have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let that sink in. The word tribulation here is the word flipsis, F-L-I-P-S-U-S, flipsis in the Greek. It carries the meaning that it is crushing. This tribulation is crushing. It's often used for how they used to crush olives to get olive oil. Tribulation. Crushing olive oil. Yeah. But here it says that we glory in tribulations. You see, tribulations change us, don't they? Hopefully for the better, because that sometimes doesn't happen. The tribulation comes and believers don't understand that we're not immune to tribulation because we live in a fallen world, right? And they get mad at God and turn their backs on God. Beloved, do we understand that tribulations are necessary? Necessary, yeah. That crushing is producing something useful or something destructive. You see, undergoing tribulations shows us where we stand with God. Are we going to trust Him through it or turn our backs on Him? One thing I know, if we never have a trial, we would never discover the strength of God. That trial is for us. It's for us to see where we stand with God. It might even test our faith. I love what one great teacher of this century once said about trials, Adrian Rogers. Some of you may know who he is. He said, a faith that is not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Tough words. There's a purpose, beloved, in those tribulations, our crushings. For instance, our reaction to that trial can influence others. It can be a testimony to God's goodness. God never wastes a tribulation. It has its purpose. It tests us, increases our faith. We discover even the strength of God. Why do we glory in tribulations? It's because it produces something. It produces perseverance. It's simple. This crushing trial is not easy, Lord. It's something I can't do anything about, Lord. Ah, the Lord would say, you're at the end of yourself, and now I can do the work. So it produces perseverance, hupomone, a steadfast endurance. We don't give up, we endure, we wait on the Lord. I'm giving this to you, Lord. I will wait on you to do what only you can do. I will keep pressing forward as I wait for the purpose in this trial. Listen, it's in trials that we're reminded of the times God has shown up, and hey, what He did in the past, He can do it again. That's our hope. And we are conformed in His image. Those trials create a work in us that builds faith as we persevere. Perseverance. We saw the definition earlier, but let's get practical with it. Let's look at an athlete. Athletes cannot develop perseverance or endurance, that stamina to keep moving ahead, unless they're pushed to their limits. And then they discover that they can move ahead more than they ever thought they could. There's no option of stopping. It forces them to grow in a way that they would never have chosen for themselves. It stretches their muscles to their limits. It makes their lungs stronger with endurance training. That's us, beloved. Tribulations forces us to persevere, patiently enduring, developing an increased faith in what God can do. I know some of us here this morning are going through tribulations. I want you to know that God sees you. He's working all things together for good. He's increasing your faith. It may not work out the way you want it to, but it's going to work out the way it's intended to. It's showing us where we are again with God. We discover a strength that only God can provide. It's forcing us to grow more like Him. It's showing us that He's in control. And the only way He can show us these things is to put us in a situation that we can't control. Oh, child of God, do you see these things in your trial? Can we put aside anger? Turn to the one that's using this for good. Sometime we might say, how can this be good? I was raped by someone and got pregnant. That happened to someone I know. Her name is Lily. She was brutally raped on the way to her house from her car. And of course, she got pregnant. And because of her godly convictions, despite the doctors and nurses telling her to get an abortion, she decided to keep the child. She was single, and bringing up a child in this world that was created by a most heinous act. She gave that child to the Lord, raised her with a love only God can do. And it was amazing. God did something in her while this child was raised up in the Lord in the church. And let me tell you, this, it's a girl. She is now a worship leader at a Calvary Chapel in California and absolutely loves the Lord. This is, you know, if we give up, we may not even see the outcome. So don't give up. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. And listen, Jesus hasn't gone through anything that you haven't gone through. He understands. He understands. All right, so she persevered, Lily persevered, and it developed godly character. Look again at verse 4. It says, and perseverance, character. That's godly character. Trials change us. The question is, do we change for the good? I had a dear friend, a pastor's wife, who had a debilitating pain after she had surgery on her lower back, which caused her to not be able to sit in a chair for long periods of time. In fact, she would have to lay down on the back of the chairs while her husband taught because she couldn't sit in a chair. But she wanted to be there. She wanted to be there. Now, she was going through her own trial, and obviously your spouses go through it with you. And her husband was going through it with them, and they want to fix it. Men are fixers. And he felt helpless. But suddenly, through her child, his wife, he learned compassion. Compassion. Sometimes a pastor, things can weigh down on them, and they kind of forget about compassion. And this godly character that was developed in him, this compassion, was so amazing. Everyone saw it, the congregation saw it. But before this compassion was developed, he was kind of a military guy, you know? He was like, suck it up, buttercup, you know, that kind of attitude. He reminded me of that commercial, and this is going to date me, the Geico commercial, if you've ever seen it, where there's a drill sergeant that becomes a therapist, and his patient is lying on the couch in his office, and the patient's saying, oh, and that's why yellow makes me sad. And the drill sergeant responds with, you know what makes me sad? You do. Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby-Pamby land, where we might find you some self-confidence. Tissue? Throws a tissue at him. That's what he reminded me of. But God changed his character through his wife's pain, that eventually, you know, this pain eventually took her to be with the Lord. He learned compassion, and the people noticed. Is that tribulation that produces endurance, changing our character to be more like Jesus? Or are we angry at the whole world? Now, after character, the believer who conforms to the image of Christ has hope. And that's what the title of this session is, hope. Look at the last part of verse 4, and character, hope. Do you see the succession? Finally, hope. Believer, tribulations, perseverance, character, and finally hope is a result of that trial. Hope is the way we look at God's truth and God's word, and it's lived out in hope. It's our living hope in 1 Peter 1:3. The end result of trials should be hope. Do you remember what Job went through? He lost his sons and daughters, his servants, his livestock. He was afflicted with boils from head to toe. Will we be like the wife in response to these trials and say, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Is that us? Or will we persevere building godly character and say, as Job said in Job 19, listen carefully, Job 19, verses 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand on the earth after my skin is destroyed. In this I know that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Do we know that our Redeemer lives? Do we know that we shall see God? This time on earth is so short compared to eternity. But one day we will be with our Lord, and there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. That's our hope, beloved. Turn with me again to Romans 5 as we wrap things up. Look at what hope does in verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Why does hope not disappoint? It's because of God's love that was poured out on us by the Holy Spirit. Hope comes out of knowing the love God has for us. Listen, if we know that our Redeemer lives and we will see him face to face, we know that his love brought him to the cross so that we might have a way to see him face to face. Do we truly understand that his love put him on the cross? Do we understand it? Oh, gosh, that's our hope. That is our hope. Love is who God is. The Holy Spirit testifies to his love. We can feel his love even in trials. Out of that love springs hope. Do we understand that through trials we can learn how much love, or he loves us through it? I hope so. He loves us enough to show us that he can do through that trial, what he can do through it, to show us how he is transforming us to his image, to show us where our faith stands, to show us how to strengthen our spiritual muscles, to show us so many lessons. That, beloved, is love. So, as we close here, I want to take a minute to look at our own tribulations. Have we lost somebody? Have we lost a marriage? Are we sick? Maybe cancer or a debilitating disease? Do we have a prodigal? I have one. Or maybe our tribulation is our own making. Can I speak to your heart this morning? Would that be all right? What are we doing with that tribulation? Do we see, oh dear Christian, that maybe God has a purpose in our trial? Are we looking for that purpose? Remember, God does not waste our pain. Are you a widow? Or did you lose a son or daughter? Are you using that pain to help others with the comfort God gave you? Do you have cancer? Do you see the possibilities to share Christ with the doctor and all those other cancer patients who are in the room with you while you're having chemo? How about seeing eternity? How about sharing eternity with those people? Did your husband or boyfriend leave you? How do you know that God doesn't have something planned for you that is exceedingly abundantly better than what you had? Did you mess up? And now you're living with the consequences? Repent Admit that you were wrong to God. Understand that we're set free from, we're set free. We're not set free from the consequences, but we're set free by forgiveness through the one who can forgive us. Live as though you're forgiven. Don't let the past dictate the future, because God is here now and in the future. There lies our hope. We persevere. We look to be changed, to be like God, as he molds our character, as we see hope. This hope won't disappoint. And we can confidently say with Job, he gives and takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just lift up any lady here that is going through trials. Lord, I pray that you would use this in a mighty way. And even if we're not going through trials, may we see those around us who is, and come alongside them to love them. Maybe sit and just listen. Pray for them to hold their hand as they endure. Give us that passion, that compassion for them. But Lord, most of all, help us to apply these truths, because it's not real until it's active in our own life. We lift up this time to you in Jesus' mighty name, and we all said, amen. Amen.